Yo, what's happening, everybody? This is Jerome. Man, welcome back to the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast. We're on volume number 159, right? And we're going to talk about some things. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers that's out there. It is a beautiful day. It's also Juneteenth Day, the celebration for African Americans and the freedom of African Americans. I am full of emotion and excited because today is a new day. And we are constantly in a world that's constantly changing and constantly evolving. And as the world is constantly changing and constantly evolving, the situation of black men, children and women are constantly getting worse and worse by the day. And I'm not trying to trigger anyone based upon trauma, based upon past experiences, and based upon what their current situation is. And when I say situation, I mean, you know, spiritually, mentally, financially, healthy, health-wise, family situation, whatever your situation may be. I'm not trying to trigger you. But what I am doing is being completely honest about ideas and what works and wasn't and what has not worked and what we keep doing and what we want to consider success. So I'm going to let you all know where I got the idea from. I was speaking with a good friend of mine that I haven't talked to in over 20 years as of yesterday. And the passion, the dedication, the willing to change, the willingness to put in the work. It really inspired me today, as well as moving forward, to work a little bit harder, to strive a little bit more based upon what my experiences are. It's no doubt about it that I talk about farming a lot and the importance of building in our own community, being able to create our own food track. And for people that's out there that doesn't know what that means that we need to create our own black or recreate, because at one point in time we had it, black farm to table scenario. So that means that a black person grows it, a black person cultivates it, a black person sells it, a black person buys it, and a black person eats it. So it sounds simple, but really and truly it's not. And before I get it, well, you know, I'm going to go ahead and finish this thought, right? This thought process. If we really take us as black people today, if we really take Walmart away, if we really take the convenience store away and the grocery stores, what would happen to us as a people? We buy everything that we need. We buy it. We don't cultivate it and grow it. So as a result of that, we would actually struggle. And there would be a very, very steep learning curve on how to grow our own food, consuming our own food. Okay? For the longest time, you know, because I've been healthy my whole life, I've been eating healthy pretty much from the time that I was a young boy up until I was 21. And then there came a period to where I was like, damn, I wasn't eating healthy at all. And then I finally realized, okay, you know what? I could be putting myself into a horrible position from a health standpoint if I'm not monitoring what I eat, especially now since I'm in my 40s. So this is not a health show that I'm going to be talking about today, right? This is going to be talking about, are we putting in the work to be great? Okay, based upon the conversation I had, I was talking with someone yesterday that literally stated in the most confident manner that what they are going to be doing and what they are doing is going to have a positive effect on society. Not only black people, but society. And I'm talking to this person. And, well, I'm just going to say her name. Her name is Katrina Goree, right? She's ambassador of Louisiana. She's doing wonderful things for the community of Bastrop. And just be on the lookout for her, right? She is a Southern woman, a complete woman, period. Well-read, well-educated. And it motivated me to come on today, even though I was going to do a show today. It motivated me to ask myself, am I doing everything that I need to be great? I want everybody to ask yourself, are you doing everything that you need to do to be great? Because see, I understand after our conversation yesterday, right? It really, really let me know that basically not only the potential that she had, but the potential that I have, and I'm not stepping it up in regards to being great. I'm good. I'm okay. I'm all right. But am I being great? So let me define what I think is great. Not influential. There's a difference. I think Jay-Z is influential based upon who he is. But I think the way that he represents his family and his family structure is great. The things and how he's moving in the tech space is great. But let me let you know what's going to minimize that. And then we're going to have to rethink greatness. Because when we have billionaires buying up all the farmland, in my opinion, that's great. When we have these companies, these gentrification companies, certified gentrification companies that have pretty much bought the entire Atlanta, that's great. You want to know why that's great? Is because they're going to be able to control wealth for the next 100 years. They're going to be able to control community. They're going to be able to control food consumption. They're going to be able to control a real estate market. That's great. Now, Jay-Z and his investments, of course, he's going to be making money, right? But in regards to actually maintaining and controlling an environment, an entire environment, he does not have that ability. This is the reason why I talked about race or survival. These people are out here, these companies are playing with billions of dollars and they're not looking to be influential. They're looking to control how people survive. And they're doing it right in front of our faces. But we are so used to, there has been an umbrella above us so much to where that we don't think about, hey, look, there were just 3,000 cows that were killed in Kansas or died in Kansas. We don't understand that, you know what, in certain areas that may cause the amount of ground beef to go up. Or if we are eating ground beef, there is going to be a salmonella outbreak. That's based on survival. See, once we create an environment, then guess what? The mind adapts. And everything else comes after that. You see what I'm saying? So when we say that, you know what, we control the culture, a social construct of what's cool and what's not cool, really and truly, that's not great. Because really and truly, environment places has a big, big influence on what? Culture. We're just so creative, we make it look cool. But in actuality, when we actually look at how are we surviving, in every category is bad. Because we're not encouraging black men to be great. You look at how many black builders there are. Active black builders. We're not building things anymore. Black inventors. Hell, black doctors. These things are important in our community. I'm going to slow down. Why is it important to have black builders? You want to know why? Because the people that are building houses, they're not actually making these houses for black people. This is the main reason why it's important to do what? Invest where you live. Build where you live. Because guess what? If we really had a survival mode, an idea of survival, then we would understand that we wouldn't sell out to a group of people that are only going to raise the rent. And as a result, the people that look like us are going to have to be pushed out of the city or pushed out of the neighborhood. That's because that money, that $100,000 that you just sold out for, that's going to affect your community for the next 100 years. Because guess what? Once they put those houses up, hell, they ain't going nowhere. It's going to take a whole lot to get them people out. And when I say a whole lot, I mean a entire whole lot. We're talking about 4 generations. So let's get this right, right? So they're paying people all over the United States. They're buying people out for $200,000, $300,000 more to control that area for the next 4 generations. That's a steal. But see, if black men were being great, we would say, hold on. No, 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 no. Y'all got to get back and get out of here now. Because guess what? This is ours. That's our pharmacy. That's our drugstore. That's our grocery store. That's our church. That's our school. You can't come over here and do that. Who do you think you are? See, I talked about power in ownership. See, the first thing that black people want to do when they start to make the 70 and 80,000, what do they want to do? They want to move. They want to move into a population, an area that's mostly Caucasian, right? They want to be, they want to have the 3-bedroom or 4-bedroom, 3-bedroom bath or a 3-bath. Just don't know. That's not what's happening. That's not where it's at. That's not where it's at. That's not what it is, because at one point in time, and I've talked about this for so long, places like Atlanta, places like Chicago, places like Detroit, places like Cleveland, the west side of Chicago at one point in time was so cheap because everybody called it ghetto. Oh, yeah, they ghetto over there. They ghetto over there. They ghetto over there. And it was all populated with black people. Guess what? These people didn't buy up nothing. On a good day, it's going to take you 30 minutes. If you really wanted to get downtown Chicago from your house, it'll take you about a good, on a busy day, 30 minutes. On a regular day, maybe 20 minutes. And you in the heart of downtown? They didn't understand that. The areas, the neighborhoods of Cabrini Green and all of it. They didn't understand that. They didn't understand location. Because you know what? You want to know why? Because black people weren't based on being great. We were comfortable with, okay, so where are we going to live at? Am I going to get a voucher? Food stamps, welfare. Whole time, all of this shit never equated to nothing. But a bunch of more black people, uneducated, living in the projects. It never created legacy. It probably did for some, but for the majority, never. Because see, believe it or not, black people are out here in survival mode too. We are. But when we think of survival mode, we're thinking about the poor. We're thinking about senior citizens. We're thinking about preserving ourselves to live our best life. And as a result of that, we don't have children. Yeah, it's ass backwards, really. But see, if we had black men wanting to be great, promoting. See, this is when Jay-Z comes into place, right? And he has talked about this, so I have to give him his credit. Promoting good family, promoting the nuclear family. Promoting a positive relationship. Publicly apologizing to his wife who called him cheating. I want to know who is our next. Everybody's talking about who's going to be the next Cash Money. Who's going to be the next Quality Control and all this type of stuff in regards to music. And I love music, y'all. Don't get me wrong. But who's going to be the next George Washington Carver? As many people that pass away from cancer in our community, It should be a real, real initiative that's being pushed from every black college available in the United States studying cancer. When HIV was running rampant in our community, this is the situation that we're in, and I want you all to think about this. Our black healthcare structure and masters of education and doctors did nothing. Nothing. And when I say nothing, I don't want you to think that these people weren't trying to get out the word and this and this and this. But hell, we're damn near 40 years in. Now, if they did, I'm quite sure there were some breakthroughs or whatnot. But it wasn't a unified front saying, you know what? The HBCU healthcare department is going to put all of our resources and our students to dedicating to fighting cancer. Dedicated to fighting HIV. You don't hear things like that. You want to know why? Because they're not trying to be great, y'all. And if they are, why in the hell don't we know about it? Now, I can't come down on them too bad because I understand that every time a black person gets money, the first thing that they want to do is they want to dedicate it to some charity. We can't do that anymore. We got to put our money where it counts. And that's back into our own school system. See, right now, we are getting into an area to where there is a recession. Right? So I'm going to let you know something, right? When there is a recession, this does what? Slow spending. And black people have a certain fear because when spending slows, that means that they're going to not be able to do what? Shop and splurge. So what we do is we just slow down on spending. But what that's going to do for people that are buying houses, buying cars, they're going to start to pay more. But you want to know why this can be prevented? Because our community is not what's called recession proof. The Asian community is recession proof. So let me break this down, right? The Asian community actually has a food track. So when our food goes up, their food actually doesn't go up. You want to know why? Because a lot of them grow their own food. So they're not going to raise the prices on themselves. That would be dumb. But that Kung Pao chicken that you buy, the number 6, or the pork fried rice, or the shrimp fried rice, guess what? That's going to go up $2. That wig that's coming from China, that's going to go up another $10. That fake jewelry that everybody's in love with, that's going to go up 75 cents. You want to know why the Asian community is so well off? It's because a good portion of their money comes from us. See, we don't have people out here that's saying, hey, look, we have to stop being consumers. And start being builders. Or start being providers of products. You want to know why? Because at this point in time, our mind isn't there. So in the recession, that's what black people are afraid of. It's getting to the point now that in certain areas in the Hispanic community, they're not going to face recession. It's going to be a different form of recession for them. You want to know why? Because guess what? They have businesses. They have successful businesses. And they have a successful food truck. Meaning that the growers of food in Mexico is also coming here. So they're not going to raise the cost of food so much on themselves that they're not going to be able to buy the food. What they're going to do is they're going to raise the food in the stores, in certain stores, right? For the consumer to have to, they're going to have to pass it off to the consumer. And now it's getting to a point to where a lot more black people, a lot more African Americans are shopping at Hispanic stores. So guess what? They're getting the money from us as well. It would be hard to find. Now, just think about this just for a moment. As many black people as it is within the United States, I mean, we're trying to be great. We're trying to raise our community to another level. And think about this. Name me, or can you even point out an actual auto group? At one point in time, there was the Aeneas Williams Auto Group. But outside of Aeneas Williams, and we're talking about all over the United States, name me 7 black-owned car facilities. They're probably out there, but we don't know them. So guess what? When the prices of cars went up, because they have the prices of used cars, where's our money going? It's going to the pockets of other people that don't look like us. When it's times, let's just say, for instance, when if someone had 10 acres of land, right now that's power. It always has been. Say, for instance, if they wanted to build on 10 acres of land, right? They wanted to build that. Who would they get the money from? So that 6.5% interest note, along with the building cost that you're going to pay for the next 30 years to build 7 to 10 homes, guess what? It's not coming from a black bank. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. We're not trying to be great, y'all. If we were really trying to be great, ask yourself. It's Father's Day. If you were really, really serious about trying to be great, if you were really, really serious about trying to educate and elevate your family, why isn't there an initiative to put every black man back? You know what? Hey, look, man, wherever you at, hey, go back to your family. Go back to the woman that you had children with.
Let's work things out. You want to know why? Because some black women are so toxic, so hateful, so mischievous, so low down. At this point in time, they wouldn't even want it. They would rather settle to have drama-filled lives based upon child support, using the child as a pawn. Some of them would. But I'm not here to bash black women. That's not what this is about. And I had to realize the whole battle of sexist movement, we need to drop that shit too. And we need to stop saying what's visibly wrong and start saying, you know what? Hey, look, here's the answer to this. In order to be great, do you want to do it or not? We have the answer. Do you want it or not? Well, I mean, does that mean when I'm with my... Yes, that you would have to be married. Does that mean that... I mean, well, who am I going to look for on the gram? Fuck the gram. Does that mean that I'm going to be... Stop twerking and all of this and going out with my girls? Possibly. Because now, see... You're going to have to, or for the fellas, oh man, does that mean, you know what? I'm not going to be able to go out anymore. Does that mean that I'm going to have to be at my children's parent-teacher conferences? Does that mean, hell, I'm going to have to be a willing participant with my children and just not say, hell, I paid child support this month. What else you want me to do? The hell you mean what else you want? You want me to do? Be a damn father. Fuck is you talking about? You got kids. Goofy. Like, this is how low the bar is right now. It is actual men out here that's thinking, you know what? Oh yeah, why you calling me? I just bought them some Jordans 2 weeks ago. What do you want? Well, your son over here crying. Well, what the hell you tell him? No. What? Get your ass over there and see what's wrong with your son. See, we fail to realize that all of this shooting out here that's going on, that's somebody's daughter. That's somebody's son. But see, we don't want to talk about that because then that would give an opportunity for what? Accountability. See, there was a time when, hey, shit, hold on, your son in the street? What the hell? What? You ain't raising your kids? What? Oh, okay, so you just gone all weekend gambling and shit. What? Nah, bro. See, that was a time that was not even acceptable. Now we got a free for all. As soon as mama get off work Friday at 4 o'clock, by 6 o'clock, she getting dressed. By 8 o'clock, she out that door. Oh, what the kids going to eat? Oh, you know what? I ordered them some chicken nuggets and, you know what I'm saying, some McDonald's, or they got pizza. Oh, what your kids doing? Oh, they ain't doing nothing. They just playing the game, watching Netflix and shit like that. Hold on, what you mean they ain't doing nothing? It is Friday. They doing all types of shit. You just don't know about it. Because why? Because in your mind, you set up an invisible parenting skill to where you're thinking that as long as your kids are watching Netflix and eating chicken nuggets and pizza, that they cool. They not cool. But in your mind, that's enough to keep them what? To keep the attention on them, to keep them focused on something else outside of not being raised by you. So if somebody asks you, girl, where your kids at? Oh, they at home, they chilling. You see what I'm saying? But in actuality, they ain't doing shit. But I can tell you what is happening though, right? In a certain scenario, if they're of age, they're probably talking about trying to do something else. Or you don't know what they watching on Netflix. You don't know that the little boy down the street is coming down there while you gone trying to come through the window. See, if you was at home, you'd know shit like that. Right, but you study out here, you already got 3 kids and you single, or 4 kids and you single, and you study out here trying to shake your little tail feather and have a good time. Nah, baby. Or nah, my guy. You can't just say, well, shit, my kid's at home. Nah, what the fuck you mean? It's Friday night. Well, okay, well, guess what then? We all finna watch Netflix. We all finna chill. Oh, yeah, y'all wanna, you know what I'm saying? Y'all wanna play some spades? Well, we all finna play spades then. See, that way you'll be accountable for what's going on in your own household. We got people out here that's not accountable. And then on top of this, you know what? You buying chicken nuggets, you doing all this type of shit, but your kids got all C's and D's. The fuck you mean y'all finna chill this Friday night? No, 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 no. Turn this damn television off. Right? Turn it off. And you need to, like, we got to go over this. What, you know what I'm saying? What have you been doing all week? You still ain't getting it, huh? Oh, okay. The fuck you mean you finna go out when your kids' grades are in the dumps? See, this is the mediocre form of living. This is the bottom of the barrel. This is the real crab in the barrel mentality. You're at the bottom, but you don't want to do anything for your children. Happy Father's Day, somebody. To get them out of a bad position. Hell, you don't even have life insurance. So if something happens to you, that your own children will have a head start in life. You don't even want to plant a goddamn garden. You don't even want to take your son to the Home Depot that they have free classes and be like, you know what, son, we're going to learn something different today. You don't want to take your daughter to the tutor on the weekend to say, hey, look, we're going to get your grades up in math and science. You don't want to take your kids to an actual place where they're teaching how to eat properly at a meal, or how to speak properly twice a month. But every week you could go out and you could blow from anywhere from $200 to $400. And you think you balling. Man, this shit ain't worth nothing. You ain't trying to be great. I'm just putting it out there. Because right now we can see there is a certain sector of our community. We can see there is a difference. And there's a different outcome than when people properly raise their children. From all facets. I'm 44. I have always been aware that people looked at me differently because the way that I was raised. I was lucky. I had two parents that were dedicated and consistently poured enough of confidence in me. And even I didn't understand this until I was in my late 30s. That I was different from other people based upon my background. Some of the people that I was hanging around with were not savory people. They weren't raised. They didn't have their mothers and fathers there with them. And through the grace of God and the navigation of my parents, that I was actually able to recover and get back on the right track. Not to say that I was out here doing a whole lot of, you know, messed up stuff. I went out here robbing and stealing and doing nothing like that, but I wouldn't be in the best that I could be. I wasn't showing up being the best of me. I'm just doing that now. I wasn't trying to be all the way great. You understand what I'm saying? So when I'm saying this, right? And as I usually do, hell, this includes me too. This includes me too. I'm not going to sit back here. I'm not one of those people that try to point the finger at everybody else and say, yeah. That's very easy to do. A real leader leads by example. You feel me? So, I know I talked about a lot, man. But I want you guys, I want us to start putting in the work with our families to put us in a better situation. Because I can promise you, we don't know what the hell is going on, really. But it's something that's going on that they're going to try to smash. And they're going to try to control and maintain. They're going to try it. They're going to try to masterfully occupy every aspect of our life. And it's all going to start on the ground that we walk on. Can you imagine right now, in every place of the United States, since we know that black home ownership is down, black land ownership is down, what would happen if these people, because they do have the right to do it, because they are owners of the property, if they just say, you know what, all black people, if you don't own your apartment, if you don't own your house that you live in, get out. There's going to be new construction, and we're requesting all black people to get out of their apartments. It may sound strange. But it's not really. Because guess what? They have the right and the power to do it. What the hell would happen? See, then the intergenerational living that I was talking about. Oh, yeah, it's coming. You're going to see a lot of people. You're going to see a lot of people based upon this recession. You're going to see a lot of people saying, damn, man, you know what? You think I can move with you? You're going to see a lot of people going back home. Yeah. You're going to see a lot of people teaming up, meaning a lot of people getting married. You're going to see it. Because guess what? They have not put themselves in a position to be financially fit. They don't have the emergency funds. They don't have the savings. Their car is not paid for. They don't own their house outright. So if something happens to their job, to them and their job, then guess what? If they don't have the savings, they only got 90 days to get shit together. You understand what I'm talking about? So we have to understand that these people are going to be coming with things that's going to smash. If Bill Gates wants to, if he's buying all of this farmland, trust and believe, he has something going on. And we don't know if it's going to be for the betterment of our body. What provides life is food. What you feed your body is going to either be life or death. And I'm just going to make a pure example of this. If you drink Purex, you're going to die. If you eat apples, you're going to live. So just based upon that, that's true. But let's take it a step farther. You know what? If you eat a lot of breads, a lot of rice, and a lot of pork, those things are going to cause either diabetes, high blood pressure, heart congestion, different things such as that. Now let's go ahead and talk about a boatload of beef, cheese, and dairy. Okay? Chicken. Now think about this. What is an average meal for an African American? Chicken and rice. Fried pork chops and mashed potatoes. Spaghetti. Burgers. Instead of beans. Now we do eat fish. Instead of beans and vegetables. Fresh fruit. We do eat these things, but they're not as common as they used to be. So the food selection that we actually have is no longer. We have to recreate it. This is a part of what I call being great. I'd like to thank you all again for tuning in to the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast. Man, happy Father's Day. Happy Juneteenth Day. Man, show up and be the greatest of your authentic self. Y'all can follow me on Twitter at Rome Empire, on Instagram at Virtual Hustle, on Facebook, Thornton Media, and then Jerome Thornton on Facebook as well. Man, it's definitely been a pleasure bringing you all this. Thanks again for tuning into the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast, volume number 158. I'ma holler.